This week's Parshas, Parshas Boy, and we are going to focus our shiur on chapter 10, verse number 9. But first we are going to give a quick synopsis what is happening. Moshe Rabbeinu threatens Paro that he's going to send locust, and they're going to eat everything that's left over from the hail. Paro doesn't want to listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he lets Moshe Rabbeinu go. Then the servants of Paro ask, until when are the Jewish presence going to be a stumbling block? Let them go and let them serve their God. Don't you know that Mitzrayim is already lost? Paro brings Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon. Vayomer aleihem, he says, Lechu ivdu es Hashem Elokeichem, go serve Hashem your God. Mi vami hoilchim, who and who are those who are going? Vayomer Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Binureinu vizkineinu neilech, we are going to go with our youth and with our elders. Bevoneinu, with our sons, with noiseinu and with our daughters. Betzoineinu, with our sheep, with koreinu neilech, and with our cattle, we are going to go. Kichag Hashem lanu, because it is a festival to Hashem for us. Paro did not accept that, and Paro says that let only the men go, because that is what you are asking, and let the children stay behind. Moshe Rabbeinu did not accept, and Moshe Rabbeinu left, and we had the plague of locust. That is a quick synopsis of what is happening in the Parsha, and our shiur today is going to focus on the words Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, that everybody has to go because it is a festival of Hashem for us. And the question is, what festival are we discussing? And what are we talking about? The simple interpretation of the Ebenezer and the Ramban is that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro that our youth, our elders, and our cattle all have to go because Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, we have a holiday to Hashem, and everybody has the obligation to bring offerings. Therefore, we require to take everybody. And according to the Ebenezer and the Ramban, when it says Chag Hashem Lanu, it's a holiday to Hashem, it is not referring to any of the particular holidays. It's just a time that you are going to bring offerings to Hashem. It's called a holiday to Hashem. But the Rabbeinu Bachya says, Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, Ze Chag HaShavuos. This has to be the holiday of Shavuos, which is the next holiday after Pesach. And what kind of holiday is it? He says, because that's the day that Matan Torah, that we receive the Torah. As it says previously, on chapter 3, verse number 12, where Hashem says that what merit you are going to have, that when you leave Egypt, Tavdun Esolikim al Harazeh, you are going to serve Hashem on this mountain. So clearly, that is referring to the holiday that we receive the Torah. So that is Chag HaShavuos. And you can't say it's referring to Chag HaPesach, the holiday of Pesach, because Chag HaPesach, we did it in Mitzrayim. And since we did in Mitzrayim, then there is no reason for us to leave, to go celebrate Chag Hashem. And Rabbi Bache continues and says that we can't say that it refers to Chag HaSukkos, because Chag HaSukkos has no connection to Har Elokim, to the mountain of Hashem. But clearly, the Rabbi Bache reiterates that this is Chag HaShavuos, as it's written in Parshas Yisro, Shmos, chapter 19, verse number 1. The Bachoydesh Ashlish on the third month, let's say Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Bayoyim Hazeh Bao Midbar Sinai, that day they came to the desert of Sinai, and the Rabbeinu Bachya says that day was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. They were there for 5 days, and on the sixth day we received the Torah, and that is what the holiday to Hashem is. Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that we need our elders and our youth because we are going to make a holiday of Shavuos. We are going to receive the Torah, and we require to have all the people for this holiday. The only problem that I have with this Rabbeinu Bachya is that Moshe Rabbeinu never tells Paro that he's going to leave outright for 50 days. All Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro is that he's going to leave for 3 days. Then clearly, in 3 days, it's not going to be Chag Hashem. It's not going to be a holiday to Hashem, because Shavuos is only after 50 days. Unless we say that, as it's known from the Shlach Kodesh and from the Arizal, where it says that that we couldn't delay to stay longer in Egypt. Hashem had to take us out quickly because we already were in the 49th level of Tumah, of impurity. And if we would have stayed longer, then we would have fallen past the 49th level of Tumah. And from there, it's very hard to come back. Therefore, Hashem had to take us out of Egypt quickly, middle of the night. That means that before those days, we were not in the 49th level of Tumah. And since we know that the 49 days that took from Pesach to Shavuos is in order for us to leave the 49 levels of Tumah and go up every day a level and merit to receive the Torah, could be that at this point we were not in such a bad level yet, that maybe in 3 days we'll be able to receive the Torah. Then when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, that we have a holiday to Hashem for us, it could mean really the holiday of Shavuos, that since we are now before the plague of locusts, maybe at this level the Jewish people could receive the Torah in 3 days. So Moshe Rabbeinu was actually saying the truth, that in 3 days we have the potential to receive the Torah. True, in the end, since Paro didn't send us, we fell further in levels of Tumah, and it took 49 days for us to go up higher in level to receive the Torah, and we receive the Torah in Shavuos, but could be that at this point, we are still able to receive the Torah within 3 days. Or we could say simply that since Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu not to disclose to Paroi that they are leaving out completely, and just to tell Paroi that you are going for 3 days in the desert, but Moshe Rabbeinu knew that they are going to leave completely and go to the mountain of Hashem, receive the Torah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paroi that we are going, Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, Moshe Rabbeinu just says that we are going to receive the Torah, but it doesn't disclose when that is going to be, in order not to make a full disclosure to Paroi of what is happening. The Kedushas Yontev in Sukkot brings an interesting Midrash, and he says that the Midrash says, Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, that this is a holiday to Hashem, Ze Chag HaSukkos, this is referring to the holiday of Sukkot, and this is a perplexing Midrash, and all the Meforshim are trying to understand what is the meaning of this Midrash. The Satmar Rebbe in Divrei Yoel gives 2 answers, and we will start with his second answer, but before he gives his answer, he asks another question. The Gemara in Brachas, Dav Gimel Amud Beis 3b, is discussing midnight, and there the Gemara brings the verse in Tehillim 119, where it says, Chatzois Laila Akum, I will get up midnight, Lohoides Lecha, to thank you and to praise you, Al Mishpatei Tzidkecho, on your righteous ordinances. Which means clearly that David HaMelech knows when midnight is. So the Gemara asks a question, David HaMelech knows when midnight is. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know when midnight is, and David HaMelech knows? How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know when midnight is? The Gemara brings the verse in this week's Parsha, chapter 11, verse number 4, where the verse says, Vayomer Moshe says, Koyomar Hashem, so did Hashem say, Kach Hatzois Halayla, about midnight, Ani Yoytze Besoich Mitzrayim, I will get out in Egypt, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't say, midnight, Hashem is going to get out in Egypt and kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians. Moshe Rabbeinu says, about midnight, Hashem is going to go out and kill all the firstborn of the Egyptians. Why doesn't it say midnight? So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know when midnight is exactly. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know exactly when midnight is, and David HaMelech knows exactly when midnight is? The Gemara answers, in the name of Rav Acha Bar Bizna, in the name of Rav Shimon Chasida, that in truth, neither Moshe Rabbeinu nor David HaMelech know exactly when midnight is. But David HaMelech had a system where he was able to figure out when midnight is because he set an harp over his bed and the northern wind blows exactly at midnight, and as soon as the northern wind blew, then it made the harp play, then he knew that this is midnight, meaning that he had a system where he could figure out where midnight is. By himself, he doesn't know where midnight is, because we are not that perfect. But since Hashem made northern wind blow at midnight, then the Arab, you would wake him up, then he would know exactly when midnight was, which means that David HaMelech had a natural alarm clock to let him know when midnight is. But since Moshe Rabbeinu did not have this alarm clock, Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, Kacha Tzoyz Alaylo, about midnight, Hashem is going to go out in Egypt. So the Satan Rabbi asks, why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu get an alarm clock? If Hashem tells him that midnight is going to go out in Egypt, then Moshe Rabbeinu should take himself an harp, put on top of his bed, and when that harp is going to play, then Moshe Rabbeinu is going to know that it is midnight. Why, in fact, doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu know when it's midnight? If it's such an easy system, then Moshe Rabbeinu should have had that system. The other question that the Divrei Yoel asks is that on chapter 12, verse number 28, after the Jewish people received the commandment to make the Passover offering, there is written, Vayelchu Vayasu Bnei Israel, and the Jewish people went and did, Kasher Tzivu Hashem es Moshe v'Aharon, as Hashem commanded Moshe and Aharon, Kein also, so did they do. So Rashi explains, clearly if it's written, Vayelchu Vayasu, the Jewish people did as Moshe and Aharon said, then clearly so they did. So Rashi explains, Lahagit Shvachom Shel Yisrael, Shelo Yipilu Dovor Mikol Mitzvahs Moshe Aharon, to teach you the praise of the Jewish people, that they did exactly as Moshe and Aharon said, Umau Kein also, and what is the interpretation, so did they do? So Rashi explains, Af Moshe and Aharon Kein also, that Moshe and Aharon also did the same. Meaning that not only the Jewish people did what Moshe and Aharon told them, but Moshe and Aharon also did this. So the question is, what is the Chiddush? That Moshe and Aharon would fulfill what Hashem told them? Clearly they would do what Hashem told them. Then why does the Torah need to tell us that Moshe and Aharon also did what Hashem told them? In truth, there are many answers why the Torah needs to tell us that Moshe and Aharon also did exactly what Hashem told them. One answer is that since it's written on chapter 12, verse number 1, in the introduction to the mitzvah of getting the Passover offering and making all the service of Passover, Ve'yomar Hashem el Moshe v'Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor, that Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aharon in the land of Egypt to say, which means that Hashem told them to say but didn't tell them to them themselves. Therefore, the Torah has to tell you that even though Hashem commanded that they should say to the Jewish people, nonetheless, they did themselves. And another answer you could say, that since we know that the Passover offering was made to atone for the sin of idolatry, that we had to have Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, to take the idol of the Egyptian and tie it to the bedpost and sacrifice it as a Passover offering, and that served as an atonement for us in order to give us merits to be redeemed, as the Medrash Rabbah on Parsha Tazayin, on the verse on chapter 12, verse number 21, where it says, Vayokar Moshe lechol zikne Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu called all the elders of the Jewish people, Vayomer aleihem, and he told them, Mishchu, draw forth, ukchu lochem, tzoil mishpochoy seichem, and buy for yourself a sheep to your families, v'shachto posach, and bring the Passover offering, where there the Medrash Rabbah says, Mishchu, pull yourself, means Mishchu Yadechem, avoid eschechovim, that you should pull yourself from idolatry, stop doing idolatry, and take the Passover offering and slaughter. That means that the Passover offering comes to atone for the sin of idolatry. Therefore, we would have thought that only those who were guilty in this sin, those who had a little inkling of this sin, those are required to bring a Passover offering, because you're required to have Mishchu, you pull yourself from idolatry and bring the Passover offering. But since Moshe and Aharon didn't have any inkling of idolatry, therefore you would have thought that they are exempt from the Passover offering, because for them the Passover offering doesn't serve any purpose. Therefore the Torah has to tell you that even though they technically did not need to bring the proof of the Passover offering to show that they are not committing adultery, nonetheless, Cain also, Moshe and Aharon also did the Passover offering. But the Divrei Yoel is going to give a different answer. The Divrei Yoel starts his answer by bringing a famous Targum Yonison ben Uziel on Shmos chapter 19, verse number 4. There, before Kabbalah Satorim and Parshas Yisro, it's written, Atem Reisem, you have seen, Asher Osisu LeMitzrayim, what I did to the Egyptians. Voas Oeschem, and I brought you, Al Kamfei Nishorim, on wings of eagles. Vav Yeschem Elar, and I brought you to me. And Rashi is bothered by the language that Hashem brought us on wings of eagle. Therefore, Rashi explains that the Jewish people were spread out throughout Egypt, throughout the land of Goshen, and in one moment they came to Ramses, because they all left the next day from Ramses. Therefore, it is like Hashem brought us quickly on wings of eagles. And Rashi says that the reason why Hashem uses the metaphor of wings of eagles is that since the eagle is the highest flying animal, then he's only afraid from things that come from underneath. Therefore, Hashem put us on top of his wings in order that if something happens, it should happen to the eagle and not to the children of the eagle. Therefore, Hashem protects us like an eagle protects his children. But the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel gives a more literal interpretation. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that Hashem brought the Jewish people in clouds, like it would be in the wings of eagle, to bring the Jewish people to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Passover offering, and then he took us back to Egypt, meaning that we did the Passover offering in the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Divrei Yoel wants to understand, since Hashem made many miracles when we went out of Egypt, why did Hashem see fit to specifically mention this miracle that we made the Passover offering in the place of Beis HaMikdash, and then Hashem brought us back? Hashem could have mentioned many other miracles that Hashem made before we went out of Egypt. Specifically, he wants to know the connection with the next verse, where the verse says, "Ve'ato and now, im shoya tishmo bekoili, if you hearken to my voice, u'shmartem es brisi, and you safeguard my covenant, v'isem li segula mikol ha'amim, then you will be the most beloved treasures of all the nations, kili kol ha'aretz, because the earth belongs to me." So he wants to know what is the connection of us bringing the Passover offering into the place of the Beis HaMikdash to the fact that Hashem says that he wants us to be a treasured nation. Therefore, the Divrei Yoel says that Hashem had a dilemma, meaning that Hashem wanted that the Jewish people should bring the Passover offering in the proper way, which means that they should do it in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, because we know that any Passover offering not done in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, it is not kosher. And yet, Hashem still believed that the Jewish people are not yet in the level to be meritorious to go in to Eretz Israel, either because of their own merits, or because it has not extinguished yet the sin of the Amorite, as Hashem himself says in the covenant between the parts. In Parshas Lech Lecha Bereishis, chapter 15, verse number 16, V'dor revi yoshuvu heina, that only the fourth generation will come back here, Kilei Sholom over Amor Yadena, because the sin of the Amorite has not become filled until now, which means that the Jewish people cannot come into Eretz Israel right now, and yet the Jewish people cannot bring the Passover offering in Egypt, because Egypt is a very contaminated place. Therefore, Hashem made that the place of the Beis HaMikdash should move and be close to Egypt. Like that, Hashem brought the Jewish people to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, not the actual Beis HaMikdash in Jerusalem, but that place of the Beis HaMikdash moved and came close to the Jewish people into the desert. In the same way that a miracle happened to Yaakov Avinu, that the place of Har HaMoriah moved closer to Yaakov Avinu in order for him to be able to pray that night, so too Hashem made a miracle that he moved close the place of the Beis HaMikdash to Mitzrayim in order for the Jewish people to be able to bring the Passover offering in that place. Therefore, he explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu told Paroi that we'll go derech shloishes yomim, a way of 3 days, and we are going to bring an offering to Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was actually saying the truth, because the place where we did the Passover offering was a 3 days journey from Egypt, where then the tumah of Egypt won't go that far, and like that the Jewish people were able to bring the Passover offering in that place. So when it's written that Hashem brought us on Kamfei Neshorim, on wings of eagle, it means Hashem brought us from Egypt, a 3 day journey to where the place of the Samigdosh moved, and there we did the Korban Pesach, and afterwards we came back to Egypt. And the Divrei Yoel brings a proof to what he says from the exact language of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, because the exact language of the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel is, Vevilis Yaschem, and I brought you, Leasar Beis Mukdosho, to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say that I brought you Leveis Mikdash to the Beis HaMikdash. I only brought you to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, which means that the place had moved from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, to a 3 days journey from Egypt, and there it is where you brought the Passover offering. And according to this, Divrei Yoel explains, now we understand why the Torah has to give you a chiddush that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon also did the Passover offering. Because aside from the reason that's written in the Torah, Sefer Megale Amukos brings another 100 reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And one of the reasons that the Megale Amukos bring is that since Moshe and Aharon's holiness was so great, that holiness could only be in the Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael in the future. Meaning, after Moshiach will come, then it will be a greater holiness for Eretz Yisrael, then Moshe and Aharon could come to Eretz Yisrael. But before that, Moshe and Aharon's Kedusha holiness is too great to come into Eretz Yisrael. Then we would have thought that since Moshe Rabbeinu cannot go into Eretz Yisrael, therefore they shouldn't be able to make the Passover offering, because since they are in a higher Kedusha and they can't go into the land of Israel, then technically they can't go into the land of Israel when the land of Israel moves close to Egypt. Therefore, the Torah tells you that nonetheless, Moshe and Aharon were able to do the Passover offering. That in this case, Hashem allowed them to do the Passover offering, even though the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael came Chutz Laaretz. The holiness of the land of Israel came outside of Israel. Because the true holiness of Israel is only when Israel in its proper place, where it's supposed to be. But when part of Israel moves outside of Israel, then the holiness is not as great. And to that holiness, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go in. Therefore, it's telling you nonetheless that even though there was Kedushas Eretz Israel in the place where the Jewish people did the Pesach, nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon could still do the Passover offering. According to this, the Divrei Yoel says, now you understand also why Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a kinoir, an arp on top of his bed in the way David HaMelech did, in order to find out exactly when midnight is. Because since the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph 71a, there explains that the Jewish people did not circumcise while they are in the desert, because the 40 years that the Jewish people were in the desert, the northern wind did not blow, and you're required to have the northern wind in order to heal the wound, and therefore it was dangerous to circumcise, and the Jewish people didn't do it. And the Gemara explains, why didn't the northern wind blow? The Gemara answers, Ibo Isem, if you want, I could give you one answer, the Roi Nivdot Anana Kovet, that the clouds of glory should not disperse, meaning that if the northern wind would have blown, then it would have dispersed the clouds, and that itself could be dangerous, that the enemies could attack us. Therefore Hashem made that the northern wind should not blow, then the clouds of glory would not disperse. But as a consequence, we did not do circumcision, because we didn't have the northern wind to heal us. Nonetheless, we see that when the northern wind blows, then the clouds of glory cannot work properly. Therefore, it could be that since this night Hashem needed the clouds in order to transport the Jewish people to the place of the Beis HaMikdash in order for them to bring the Passover offering, then that night the northern wind did not work. And if the northern wind did not work, then the alarm clock, the sign of the harp, would not work, because that only worked when the northern wind blew. And since the northern wind did not blow that night, then Moshe Rabbeinu did not have a sign, an alarm clock, to know when midnight is. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kach Hatzoyz HaLayla, about midnight. And according to this, since when we did the Passover offering, we were able to come to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, that means that we jump-start and we went to a place of holiness, even though we did not merit and we didn't put any effort. Therefore, the Torah gives the introduction of us receiving the Torah. The Torah gives this example, that I took you out of Egypt and I took you to in the wings of eagles, and I brought you to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and I made you make the Passover offering there. Now I'm bringing you to the Torah, and I want you to know that if you are going to perform the mitzvahs, then you'll be treasured nation. Meaning, since you already got a taste of holiness, then I want you to continue in the path of holiness, and I want you to perform the mitzvahs. Like that, you'll be the most treasured nations from all the world. And according to this, we could now explain that perplexing medrash that the Kedushas Yontav brings, that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Chag Hashem Lanu, that we have a holiday to Hashem, that is referring to the holiday of Sukkot. Because the Gemara in Sukkot, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis 11b, brings two opinions why we make the mitzvah of Sukkot. The opinion of Rabbi Lezer is that we make the mitzvah of Sukkot Zecher L'Anan HaKovet, to remind us of the clouds of glory that gave us comfort when we left Egypt. And according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, we sit in Sukkot because when the Jewish people left Egypt, they dwelt in huts. And we know that we pass in L'Alacha, like the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, that we sit in the Sukkah, Zecher L'Anan HaKovet, to remind us of the clouds of glory. According to this, we could explain that this is exactly now what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell Paroi, but he doesn't want to tell him directly. He says that we are going to go with our youth and our elders, Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, because we have the holiday of Hashem. He was referring to the holiday of Sukkot, because the holiday of Sukkot celebrates the clouds of glory, and Moshe Rabbeinu was referring to the clouds of glory that are going to transport the Jewish people to the place of the Beis HaMikdash in order for them to do the Passover offering. But since, like all the statements that Moshe Rabbeinu talked to Paroi, it was done in a hidden way, Moshe Rabbeinu could not disclose clearly to Paroi all his intentions. In the same way that he said that we are going in a 3 days journey and serve Hashem and bring the Passover offering, and that was meant in a hidden way, that they are going to be transported to the place of the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Passover offering a 3 days journey away. So too, here when he says Ki Chag Hashem Lanu, it's a holiday to Hashem, he's referring to the holiday of Sukkot, and he was referring that the clouds of glory are going to transport the Jewish people to the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and there they will do the Passover offering. I want to answer this perplexing medrash based on the Alshach and based on what Meforshim explain what it means, Mi v'mi yoilchim, who are those who are going. The Divrei Yoel and other Meforshim explains that Paroi was able to realize that the Jewish people are involved in Tumas, they are involved in idolatry, they are in the 49th level of Tuma. Therefore Paroi asks, you want to serve Hashem, Mi v'mi yoilchim, who is going to serve Hashem? Who is in the level of serving Hashem? And he understands it based on the language of the first Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 1, verse number 1, where the verse says, Ashrei Oish, praise is the man, Asher lo yeholach batzas reshoim, that didn't go in the advice of evildoers. And there didn't go doesn't mean literally that the person is walking in the advice of evildoers. It means that he didn't follow the advice. Means that you have a certain derech, a certain path of life, and a person who is going on that derech, on that path, is considered halach. He walks on that path. Therefore, when Paro was asking, you want to serve Hashem, Miva Miha Elchim, who are those who are following in the path of Hashem? And on that, Moshe Rabbeinu answers to Paro that we are going with our youth and our elders because we have a holiday of Hashem. And the holiday of Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu is referring, it is Chag HaSukkos. And this is based on what the Alshach in Parshas Emor brings down. The Alshach in Parshas Emor, Vayikra chapter 23, verse number 39 notes that it's written here, Ach b'chamisha aso yom l'chodesh ha-shvi, but on the 15th day of the 7th month, ba'aso chemes tvuos haaretz, when you gather the produce of the land, tachoygu es chag Hashem, you should celebrate the holiday of Hashem, shivas yomim, 7 days. And the Alshach notes that all the holidays are called Chag Lashem or Pesach Lashem. The only holiday which is actually called Chag Hashem, the holiday of Hashem, that is the holiday of Sukkot. And the Alshach gives multiple interpretations to this idea. And the first interpretation that the Alshach breaks down is based on the Medrash Tanhuma in Bechukosai Gimel, where there the Medrash Tanhuma says that as soon as Hashem created the world, He wanted to make Him a place of residence, betachtonim, here underneath, meaning He didn't want to make a place ba'aretz, in earth, but He wanted to make a place betachtonim, underneath the sky, which the Alshach explains that He wanted to make a place amongst the people who keep Torah and mitzvahs, because only then is His place complete, as He says, V'asu l'mikdash, made me a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'soicham, that we have to make a holy place for Hashem, then Hashem will be able to dwell amongst us. And the Jewish people, the Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, were the chosen people, because they are the ones that accepted the Torah. But unfortunately, the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt by soul and body, and it came on Pesach, Hashem redeemed our body, and after 49 days, Hashem was able to redeem our soul by giving us the Torah, and Hashem was ready to make Himself a place here in this world, but unfortunately, the Jewish people did the sin of the golden calf, and through Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer and our repentance on Yom Kippur, Hashem forgave us for that sin, and He gave us the second tablet, and then we were commanded to build the sanctuary of Hashem, the preparation for the Mishkan, and it took 4 days for us to be involved in the mitzvah, and it became the 15th of Tishrei, that became the holiday of Hashem, because then Hashem accepted to dwell amongst us. Therefore, Sukkot is called Chag Hashem, the holiday of Hashem. That is what the Alshach gives in his first interpretation. On his second interpretation, the Alshach brings the second Mishnah in Masechtas Avos, the first Perek, where it says that Shimon HaTzadik used to say, Ashlusha Dvorim Oilom Oimet, on 3 things the world stands, Ala Torah, Ala Voida, Vagmiles Chasadim, on Torah, Avoida, service of Hashem, and acts of kindness. And he explains that the 3 holidays that we have, the Cholosh Regolim that we have, are the 3 legs that the world stands on. The first leg, Pesach, he explains that is the leg of Chesed, kindness. And he explains that this is the leg of Chesed because on Pesach we say, Kol dichfin yeseh v'yechol, anybody who is hungry should come and eat, where we don't do this in any other holiday. Therefore, Pesach is Chesed. I wanted to add to this idea of the Alshach what is written in Sefer Heichal Bracha, where the Sefer Heichal Bracha brings what is written in this week's Parsha, chapter 11, verse number 2, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to daber na be'ozneam, tell please in the ears of the people, v'ishalu ish me'isreyu, that a person should borrow from his fellow, v'isham eisreusa, and a woman for her fellow, kli kesef u'chlizav, vessels of gold and vessels of silver. And the normal interpretation is that we should ask the Egyptians to lend us the vessels, but Sefer Heichal Bracha brings from Rav HaKodesh Rabbi Yechiel Mechel Mizlachev, Zechisu Yigoleinu, that it cannot mean that we should ask our fellow Egyptians, because the Gemara in Baba Kama, Naflamet Ches Omed Aleph, writes down that every time it's written from your fellow, it comes to mean your fellow Jew and not your fellow Gentile. Then clearly it cannot mean your fellow Egyptian. As a side note, there are other Mefarshim that ask this question, and they answer that after the Torah was given, then your fellow is only your fellow Jew. But before there was a Torah, then your fellow could be your fellow Egyptian. And since this is before the Torah was given, therefore your fellow at that point could be your fellow Egyptian. But Sefer Hecha Bracha answers that in truth Hashem wanted to create an atmosphere of Gemilas Chesed, of acts of kindness, because that is what was lacking when we were slaves, and that is the merit that we are going to be redeemed. Therefore Hashem told that one Jew should borrow from another. Like that he create an atmosphere of acts of kindness. And your fellow there means your fellow Jew. And therefore it continues and says that when the Egyptians saw that the Jewish people are doing such acts of kindness, then Hashem gave the grace in the eyes of the Egyptians, and they lent us even though we didn't ask them. Meaning that we only asked our fellow Jew in order to create an atmosphere of kindness, but the Egyptians saw that and automatically they also lent us. But nonetheless, we see that Pesach is the pillar of acts of kindness. And clearly, Shavuos, we receive the Ten Commandments, we receive the Torah, that is the pillar of Torah. So therefore, it was missing the pillar of Avodah, the pillar of service of temple, and that is accomplished when we build the Mishkan. Therefore, specifically, on Chag HaSukkos, when all the three pillars that the world stands on became complete, now the world will stand. Now it's called Chag Hashem, the holiday of Hashem. And the third interpretation that the Alshach brings is that the Simcha for Hashem was not complete until Chag HaSukkos, until the holiday of Sukkos. And he explains that on Chag HaMatzos, on Pesach, even though we should have rejoiced completely about the holiday that Hashem redeemed us, nonetheless, it's written, V'himru al yam b'yamsuf, that we rebelled against Hashem while we are still in Yamsuf, that there we ask that we want to go back. That means that we are rebelling against Hashem, therefore the holiday cannot be complete for Hashem. And afterwards, we waited 7 weeks until Matan Torah, and even when Hashem gave us the Torah, still, the Simcha was not complete, because Hashem already knew that we are going to do the golden calf. As the Medrash brings down in Shmois Rabbah, Parsha Mem Beis Hey, where there the Medrash brings down what is written in Shemos chapter 3, verse number 7, where there it says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, Roye Roisi, I have surely seen, as oni ami, the affliction of my nation, where there the Medrash says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you only see that they are receiving the Torah, and I already see that they are going to do the sin of the golden calf. Meaning that the reason why they have the affliction now is because in the future they are going to do the sin of the golden calf. That means that Hashem, when He gave us the Torah, He couldn't have a complete simcha, complete happiness, because Hashem already knew that we are going to sin by the golden calf. As a matter of fact, right after the Ten Commandments, Parsha Zisra, chapter 20, verse number 20, it's written, Lo yisasun liti, should not make with me Elohei Chesef, gods of silver, Veloei Zov, Lo yisasun lochem, and gods of gold you should not make to you. And Mefarshim explained that this commandment came right after the Ten Commandments, because Hashem knew that we are going to stumble with the golden calf. That means that Hashem's simcha was not complete when He gave us the Torah, because He knew we are going to stumble. But after Moshe Rabbeinu prayed and we did a complete tshuva, complete repentance, then Hashem forgave us and Hashem gave us the second tablets. Then we made the holiday of Sukkos. That holiday of Sukkos is a complete holiday because we did it without any sin, and we did it completely only Chag Hashem, celebrating the holiday of Hashem. And the Alshach continues and says that since Sukkos always comes after Yom Kippur, that means that on Yom Kippur, because of our repentance, our sins are forgiven. Therefore, every Sukkos is Chag Hashem, is the holiday of Hashem, because Hashem doesn't see any sins in that holiday, since all our sins were forgiven Yom Kippur, therefore Hashem could completely rejoice on this holiday. Based on this, now we could explain our Medrash, that when Paro asks, Mi va mi oilchim, who are those who are going, meaning, what merit do they have that they are going to go? We know that they are sinners. On that, Moshe Rabbeinu answered, that Binoreinu v'zkaneinu nelech, we are going to go with our young and our old, that even though they sinned, nonetheless, it's not a problem. Ki chag Hashem lanu, because we are going to have a holiday of Hashem. We are going to have the holiday of Sukkot, where Hashem there is going to rejoice completely, as the Alshach explains, where there is a time where there is no sins, no blemish, where the world becomes complete and we could build the Mishkan. So therefore, we are going to go to the desert, even though we are not meritorious now and we sinned, because eventually it's going to be Chag Hashem, it's going to be the holiday of Sukkot, which comes after Yom Kippur, and Hashem is going to forgive our sins. Therefore, we are able to go, even though we are not meritorious now. And Hashem Yisburg should help that in the same way that we're reading about the redemption, that we should merit to have a complete redemption, Mashiach should come, the Beis HaMikdash should build, Mimheira b'yameinu.